Hello and congratulations, friends. This is another week completed. We're almost at the end. The weekend is almost here, which means two things. It's almost time for another episode of Thirst World Problems. In fact, you're just minutes away, as well as the fact a brand new cocktail of the week awaits you. Now, I have to apologize because this one was low-hanging fruit for us. I can't even say that we were sandbagging. We just completely forgot to get to this one. And it's one of the most popular cocktails that you can get out there. You go out for drinks, you hear it all the time come up. And that, my friends, is the martini. So, some nice gin, some nice vermouth, that's it. The only real debate comes whether it's going to be shaken or stirred. Now, I'm a James Bond man myself. I love that series. Super excited whenever James Bond is coming out. I've seen them all several times, and I'll probably keep watching them till the day that I die, which if I keep this up, it might not be as long as I hope. But regardless, and take it from a more morbid perspective, let's talk a little bit about that shaken versus stirred. So basically, when it comes down to the whole debate, what happens is when we're talking about alcohol-based ingredients, if you're making a cocktail with gin and rum or gin and vermouth or vodka and ginger beer, like an alcoholic ginger beer, then what you all want to do in that situation is stirring it is fine, just pouring it on top, that's fine. What happens when you shake it, and that's when you're doing your juices, your egg whites, any creams that you're going to put in there, fresh fruit or, garnishes or, well, I guess not garnishes, but herbs in there as well. Then when that happens, that's when you're more likely want to shake it. You want to get a good strong mix. You want to make sure everything is nicely chilled. And the argument is the more you shake something, especially over ice, it's going to get far more chilled than if you're stirring it, which kind of dilutes the cocktail itself. Now, some people would argue that one of the good benefits of shaking a martini is that you get to break down some of the, I guess, the slickness or the oiliness of the vermouth, as opposed to if you're stirring it. Either way, I like mine shaken simply because I like a nice cold drink, and that goes down a lot smoother for me personally. I don't know if I have quite the palate to make a very big distinction besides from temperature between the two, but if you talk to some of our lifelong mixologists or some of our lifelong drinkers, you might find that there is a hard stance one way or another. But for the general public, I'm going to go with shaken just because it chills it a little bit better. You can choose to go the other way. And yes, it's also a little bit of the influence of James Bond, which I know mixologists and bartenders here hate hearing that being said. So, cocktail of the week, it's up for you to decide. Try one shaken, try one stirred. Perfect combination. Get two drinks. I was going to say for the price of one, but it's probably going to cost you the price of two, so it's not really going to matter, but you'll be happier for it, and it's the weekend, so you might enjoy one on one day, a nice Saturday drink and a nice Sunday drink, or Friday, Saturday, however you get down, and save Sunday for just relaxing and hanging out with a fam. Now, we've helped you drink better, we want you to drink responsibly, and we also want you to move your feet. Theme song!
Welcome to the Thirst World Problems Podcast, where we talk about drinks, current events, music, and more. Now, here's your host, Nick Dugal, and his panel of experts, B, Bell, and the infamous Doc.
So this is Thanksgiving Day recording. We're doing it bright and early. Nick and B up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and we're just going to hop right into things right off the bat here. And you guys have sent us some questions related around cocktails, drinking situations, party situations. What can you do to lighten the mood? We call these the Thirst World Problems that you send us, and we're going to help you solve them. So the one that's most appropriate right now is we have a question coming in where our listener is asking, when is it appropriate or inappropriate to be drinking with your parents, especially, I guess, with celebrations coming up this time of year, your Thanksgivings, your Christmases. I don't know if you guys do anything for Halloween with your family, but, you know, when did you guys...
Just a Halloween dinner, just anything you can, or just a turkey on the fucking Halloween.
Now, how, do you guys drink at family get-togethers and whatnot? And how long have you been doing it?
Well, yeah, what kind of question is that? That's, I don't know who's asking that question, but that just, what do you mean? Like, are you 9 years old or what's going on here? You, right? Like, what do you mean you got, like, unless you just got the strictest parents ever, which I, you know, that's fine. But if you're like, if you're 25 plus, man, you shouldn't be asking this question, right? So that's all, well, I got to say about that.
I figured that you guys might have went that way, but me personally, like, yeah, I don't drink when I go to family get-togethers most of the time.
I'm going to say for the last 17 years of my life.
So right away, as soon as you guys turned 18, you guys were, or did you guys even start even earlier?
Actually, no, that's not true. That's not true. Like, obviously, when you turn 18, like, you don't want to just be on putting your foot on the gas right away, right? Like, you need a couple years, and then, you know, all of a sudden, one of the parents at the party will just be like, here you go, or something, right? They'll give you the bottle, and then, you know, you're good to go. But that'd be a lie if I said it was right at 18. But why do you, Bell, why do you not drink there? Is that because others don't, or you're just a baby, or what's going on?
Well, mainly because I'm a baby. No, like a lot of, no, there's people drinking all the time. And like my dad is like 100% still on like island time, where like you walk by our house at any point and the garage is open, music is playing. He's always got people there and they're just pouring drinks constantly. And yeah, he's just like, yeah, man, this is just island life. And he's trying to bring that here. Like the worst thing, and you think that's just a summer thing, but the worst thing is, like, I guess when they were buying their houses and stuff, like him and his buddies, for whatever reason, they got like wood stoves in their garage. So now that come winter, they just load up the wood stove, and it's the same thing. And they're all huddled in these garages around the city here. And yeah, same type of thing. As far as why I don't do it is, I've been to too many of them where they just get out of hand, and I'm like, yo, if I ever want to just hop in my car and get out of here at any point. So mainly it's for an escape route. And also, I just don't know. I'm still, I don't know. You call me a baby and I guess that's it, but I'm still not super comfortable with just getting like sloshed in.
But why are you taking this to being sloshed though?
I guess, well, yeah. Yeah, that's a go big or go home, man. And there's only one speed.
Okay. Anyway, just do to the listener, just do what you want, man. Stop worrying. You're worrying too much.
There you go. Just dip your toes in, I guess, a little bit at a time here. And I don't know, start off with just a nice glass of wine.
The haters eight.
No. Just offer, man. Just offer your parents a drink and they'll offer right back, man. There's days where I come home and you just throw it out there, man. And that's it. End of story, man. Have a drink, watch Harry Potter.
Next time you get out there and be proactive. So keep your drink questions coming at thirstworldproblems.ca. Hit us up on IG. Let us know what you guys want us to get into next and tackle next. And yeah, we'll help you out as best as we can, man.
I think the worst question we've ever got was, what's a good drink to have while you're on a date? Just don't even go on the date, man. I mean, you don't even know what to drink. I thought about that for weeks, man. Just,
I don't know, man. I remember at a time, just don't even know what beer to get. Like, you don't know what beers are what, right? You're just like, oh, can I just get a light one? You know what I mean? So, I get it, but.
Well, that's the thing, man. Like, you're thinking, like, from an old man perspective where, like, you know, everyone is, everyone's already, like, in their 30s and they already know what they like and what to try and what's a cool drink. But we got a lot of younger people that also listen to the show that need, you know, trying to gain from your wisdom, Nick.
My wisdom? There is no wisdom, bro. It's just you do a flavor of the year and you stick with it, man. You switch on a weekly basis, you're not going to enjoy it, man. Just stick with one thing, and just ride it to the end, man. That's what all brown guys do.
What are you talking about, man? B is always saying get out and try new things.
Yeah, but bee's different, man. I'm just talking about generic brown guys. They just stick with good old reliable. And I swear to God, man, like there's times like even when it comes to like beer or just, you know, like you want to try different types of beers, right? And you get like your generic brown guys, they'll have it. They'll be like, oh, this is disgusting, man. And they're just good with like, you know, a Bud, man. And, you know,
which is fine. Bud's good too.
Yeah, but I mean, like you want to change it up, right? You want to go a little bit more higher scale. But to them, they just don't care. It's the same thing with alcohol. It's like, hey, let's try this. Like yesterday at a dinner, and I was like, let's try this gin that I brought. And they're just like, oh, what is this? This is so weird. This is not like Bombay. I was like, wow. All right, just give it back to you. Like, don't even talk.
Man. Yeah, this is they won't even like sometimes people won't even try it, man. Like say it's a brand that no one's heard of or something, and they think it's like lower class or something for some reason. People just no one will try it, man. Like I've noticed that's with a lot of people though. But
yeah, it's obviously it's price. Price is the big key. And what's your best bang for your buck? It's really it. That's really the gist of it. What's your best bang for your buck? Because you can just get like a beef eater for like 8 beef eaters if you wanted to, right? So it's just, I don't know, man. I don't like that. It's like going to get shoes. Let's put it that way. You're going to go play ball. Like obviously you're going to go try to get something new, sick, KD's or LeBron's. Or you can just be like, yo, I'm just going to go get these, like, running shoes and just play basketball. And what's the difference? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but for that, there is a difference, though, right?
Well, for us, there is a difference. But yeah. I'm just saying, like, the person who's wants to get the same thing over and over again, it's just, well, to them, they think shoe is a shoe, right? To them, they think, well, this is good enough as the next $20 bottle.
Yeah.
But it really isn't. If you actually, like, break it down and enjoy it. It's more of just how quickly you can get turned up compared to how much you can enjoy it rather than, you know, getting something that's like 10, 15 bucks and then you got to mix it and I don't know what the taste of that is, right? So it's like, what's your preference? Everyone has a different preference. It's more of just how quickly can we get hammered compared to...
I wish you could just put whatever liquor in just like a clear bottle and no labels. And trust me, no one would... I'm telling you this, no one would even know the difference.
Oh, you want to get rid of all the marketing aspect of it,
I'm going to do that one time. I'm just going to put like Sky Vodka in like a Ciroc. Like a Ciroc original. Which is probably the same thing. It's like a $10 difference in the bottle, right? But I'm just going to put it in there and just see if anyone says anything or if they're just like, yo, this one's just crazy. It's a limited edition. Yeah. What's going on here?
It sounds like you're just choked that no one wanted to try your gin yesterday there, Nick.
No, everyone drank it, man. That's the crazy part.
Once they realize that, you know, other people are drinking is having a good time, then it's all daisies, right?
Look at that. So you were able to help expand some horizons there, eh? And get some people into some new stuff. You think you've convinced anyone to go grab a bottle of their own? Like, did they enjoy it?
No, I don't convince people, man. It's more of just, like, try it, man. If you don't like it, cool. Like, it's just, I always notice that people are always... You don't like it,
just get out of my basement.
Yeah, like, but I always notice that people are always going to, like, stick with what they know rather than... I feel like because if you're spending 15, let's say 40 bucks on a bottle, and it's not what you think it is, it's just going to sit there and you're going to feel devastated, right? Like, and it's a lot of it's all trial and error. So, but that's how people are.
Fair enough. There you go. You got a 2-for-1 in that Thirst World problem right there. And then we also had the advice of starting slow at family gatherings, maybe with a glass of wine and whatnot. And then the most important takeaway, I think, was just make sure you go out and actually try some quality bottles because you might be surprised of what you actually end up liking. So,
it doesn't even have to be quality bottles. It could be something that you don't like. Just try it, right? But if you don't try it, then you don't know if you like it or not, right? Then you're just making stuff up in your mind the whole time.
So what's one of the last things that you've tried that you didn't think that you're going to like that you're kind of like pleasantly surprised by?
Man, I like dark beer now. I don't know why. I like it. There's just something about it. The bitterness. I don't know. I guess there's levels to beer. You got to level up, right? The first beer you drink, oh, this is nasty, right? A couple weeks later, oh, this is so good, right? And then you just graduate from there. But I like the darker beer and stuff, right? It's just there's a stereotype now about if you drink this beer and stuff, you think you're all, you know, everything and all, you know what I mean? Like, so it's kind of annoying, but it's what it is. I don't care.
I like the Modelo, the dark Modelo.
That thing's pretty dark solid. One?
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty good. For drinks, honestly, I think 1800 tequila, I didn't think it was going to be good at all, but it's actually really good. So whatever shots that you guys were taking at the bars, you guys, that was probably like just dirty swamp water, man. and I never realized that there's a difference in quality of tequila. I thought tequila is tequila, but I know 1800 is probably like, I think it's like a $20 bottle, but still, like, I'm pretty sure the higher you go, the more smoother things get, right? So I never knew that.
1800 is a little bit more of a step up. Usually, like, your base, you're looking like Souza or like Jose Cuervo. But 1800,
I don't think man. I think 1800 is better than Jose Cuervo.
No, that's what I'm saying. Okay. Those guys, are base. So, like, it's a step up from those. And they also have a nice, delicious coconut tequila. I mean, that's one you can try one time. I know you like the flavored stuff, so I
don't like coconut though. There's two things I don't like: coconut and mint chocolate. I think mint chocolate's probably the most disgusting thing on the
planet. It's not bad. I wouldn't eat a whole bar, but it's not.
Mint chocolate's nasty, man. Do you want? That's gross.
What a little nice after eight, after you finish your dinner there.
That's disgusting, man. Mint chocolate's probably the worst thing on this planet. Why would you want something that's sweet and all of a sudden you have like something minty in your mouth, like? Bro,
I actually have a funny story about that. I remember like one time back, I was probably in like grade 4 or 5 or something, and I remember I never tried mint ice cream, and people always go, "Oh, yo, mint ice cream, it's so good, it's the best thing ever." And I like mint ice cream now, but I remember my mom got it from the grocery store, and the first bite I took, because you know it's a kind of bitter and like, you know, it's like it gives you that throat kind of feeling. And I remember I tasted it. I tell you. Spit it out right on the ground. And I remember that tub of ice cream sat in that freezer downstairs just for months and months and months. And no one ate it. No one did anything to it. And that's what that reminds me of, is that you don't like that fucking.
Yeah, ice dude, it's gross. Like I remember I lost a bet. And I had to eat a box of mint chocolates. Dude, I threw up. I was sick. I threw up like crazy, man. Yeah, it was the grossest thing ever. It's so nasty, man. I just don't understand the concept of it. I'll never get it.
The LA Lakers are the NBA champions, Bell. What do you think? What do you got to say?
Hey, I want to say that that I called it from the start, you know, and I stuck with my pick all the way through, and I wanted the Lakers to win from day one. But in all honesty, man, I didn't think that the Lakers were going to be able to pull it together. I was kind of worried that, and that's why he told me he wanted my damn respect, but I was also kind of worried that LeBron wouldn't last a full season. So I wasn't quite sure what it was going to look like, and now looking back at it, like, how old is this guy? Is he actually?
He's about to turn 36, I think.
Okay, yeah, so 35. I couldn't remember if it was 32 or 35. And this guy looks like he doesn't look like I guess how he did you know, when he was in his mid 20s or whatnot. But this guy's still a beast when you compare him to a lot of guys in the league, a lot of the younger guys in the league. I saw him standing next to Davis the other day, and when I was like, wow, Davis is huge. And then you look at LeBron, I'm like, LeBron is a monster, man. Yeah,
the guy's literally like Undertaker, Kane, you know, Rey Mysterio's athleticism and, you know, movements and how fast he is all combined into just one fucking robot, man. And it's crazy because with LeBron, you know, obviously the debate's going to rage on who's the best and all this stuff. You know, we're never going to come to a agreement on that. But it's crazy because, you know, no one has ever had this type of hype before and had to come through to this, right? Like this hype that LeBron has lived up to has never been asked of any athlete in the history of sports, I think. No one comes to mind for me, and no one has taken that and honestly, I think, jumped it 2-3 times over. And then he's got his outside things than sports, right? And this guy is, you know, these guys, they came from nothing, right? Like, it was just his mom, and he got him there, and he's, you know, he's smarter than most people that have went to school for how many years as well, right? You can tell that, and, you know, he's never had a blemish. You've never heard, oh, LeBron's, you know, out with this girl or seen with someone else, right? The guy's with the same person he was with. You know, that doesn't, you know, mean anything about character, but at the same time, it does, right? Like, and man, he's been the best basketball player on the planet. He's been discounted so many times. He is the poster child for poking at, right? Whether it be can't hit the jumper, can't hit the three, you know, can't do it himself. You know, he'll never be able to shoot and that kind of thing. And he's proved every single person wrong. You know, he's made things that weren't routine, like, you know, leaving teams and giving players empowerment. And now at the tail end here with AD, I don't know, man, like the Clippers now, they're not looking too good. Like, I don't think the cohesiveness is there, and the path might be open for a couple championships at the end here. And, you know, you've always known what I've said is if he gets 5, and he, you know, is number one in points, I think that's it, man.
Well, that's the one thing that everyone holds against him, though, is we say, and it is an accomplishment, but how big of an accomplishment is it? He's got the 10 NBA finals. He's got 4 rings, right? So he wins less than half the time that he gets there. So, I mean, that's always the knock on him is Jordan did it in 6, got 6 rings in 6 tries. So how... That's going to be one thing that's always a knock on him. And the other thing which people say is, like, he's always a guy that surrounds himself with all-stars. He's got to build a team. He's got that record where, I don't know, he's had, like, the most all-stars play with him and this and that. But then I look and I'm thinking about some of these classic teams. You look at classic Celtics, classic Lakers, and, like, okay. Well,
they have ridiculous players on there.
Insane teams and perennial insane all-stars on those insane teams. Yeah. Now, I don't know how free agency worked back then. I don't know how many of those players were drafted and in-house, if it was like a Golden State situation prior to them bringing in KD or whatnot. But I don't know. It just seemed crazy that all these guys were on that same team and no one really talks about the composition of those teams as being a knock against greatness for any of those players, and now we're tearing down LeBron for it. The one thing I will say, though, man, dude whines way too much about every call this guy's whining, so there's also that going against him too, man. And he lets this kid smoke so much drugs, man.
Okay, all right, man, that was the biggest blemish that you could have ever said about LeBron right there, so.
Well, that was the funny thing was that after the championship, most of the memes were all aimed at Bronny and how now that LeBron's out of the bubble, he's coming over for he's going to get a whooping there or grounded. I guess it's 2020 now. No one gets whoopings anymore, right?
The LeBelt.
It's huge, man. I think 4 title. He made a promise. He did it. Do you feel like it's a big, it means more this title than anything else? I feel like this title is not that meaningful.
I think it feels like that to us because you don't see, you know, these big crowds and you don't see, you know, the players talking with the crowd after and how loud it is and all this. I think that plays a big part in terms of, you know, us at home seeing it, and it just doesn't feel the same because we've never seen this before one time in history, right? So I think it kind of feels like that to us, but to these guys where they've been in the same room for 3 months, right? Like I think it was probably pretty tough, man. Like, this NBA season was a 1 year long, right? It started in October. It ended in October. So I think it was tough. I think it probably was one of the hardest championships, but I guess you could spin it kind of in either way, right? Like,
I think this was one that he had to win, like this. But the point that by the time the Lakers got to the Western Conference Final, if he didn't win this one, and we say that, like, you know, everyone likes to poke fun at LeBron or call him out, or, you know, the whole incidents with, like, the Wash King and no one respected him. Like, he went down to the very end and complaining about not getting the respect that he deserves at the very, I think that was one of the last things that he said on camera there. And if he thinks that he doesn't get any respect now, if he didn't win this championship, it would, like, he, like I said before, oh, man, like, yeah, he would have to retire, because the amount of criticism and would have been all over this guy, man, all over this guy for the rest of his career.
Yeah, but honestly, if Miami came back 3-1, LeBron might have had to retire, man. Let's be honest here.
Like, his one of his greatest things was, like, that comeback win when they were down 3-2, right? Like, and coming back and staring off elimination that many times. If you then took that from him and you flipped it to where now he's pulling a Doc Rivers and blowing a 3-1 lead, like, forget it, man. They would have just crucified him constantly.
But not, but we're literally just doing what-if situations like that. It didn't happen. So how are we talking about this when it never happened?
You asked about the value of this championship. Yeah. So I think it's even, I think it's even more.
But you're saying what if they lost, but they didn't lose. I'm just,
yeah, that's why
the value of this championship. Well,
I'm saying that because of the, what if the potential of losing it, that's why this value for him, especially personally, is so much more than it would have been for some of these other championships. Now, as far as it goes on, like, I don't know, like, accolades for his career. I hope that was cough medicine, man. I hope that's cough medicine. A little hair of the dog first thing in the morning, hey? Now, personally, for LeBron, I think this championship one is probably more one of relief than celebration.
Yeah, I'd say it's both, man. I'm excited to see what the next 2 years will bring for the team, because honestly, I'm going to say right now, they're going to land someone, a free agent, because there's no way they're not going to. They're not going to sign Kyle Kuzma, I don't think. Dwight's probably gone. Rondo, I think they like him enough to keep him because they know they're going to be in the playoffs, and we saw what he could do. And I think there's going to be a couple roster spots waiting, and you know, whether, I don't know who's a free agent this year, but these guys, like, I don't know if Bradley Beal's available or what's going on with that, but I don't know. I think they can get a big talent. I think the title window is open for the Lakers for at least another 2-3 years. And like I was saying earlier, the Clippers, that situation seems like a mess, right? And I don't know who's going to beat them. So
you forgot about Denver, man, and Dame and them boys, man.
Guys can do whatever they want, man. I don't know. As long as look, I don't see any of those guys beating LeBron's team in the playoffs. Let's put it that way.
They're not going to get a challenge all the way until
100. Broke. Yeah, that's true. That's what could derail them.
The real king comes back.
Yeah. Brooklyn's going to tear themselves apart, man. Brooklyn's going to tear themselves apart. Kyrie and KD on the same team, man. I don't see that working out. I don't see that working out. Cause Kyrie is gonna say something or start to get jealous, and then it's gonna be one of those situations. It's gonna be one of those situations where how much do you wanna are you gonna keep tolerating this guy? So
well, listen, when you have a guy like Kevin Durant. Who cares, man? Kevin Durant's the greatest scorer of all time. You're not going to stop him. No one's going to stop him. The fact that he's coming back, they'll probably pick up another star.
What about a torn Achilles? Well, that'll stop him.
No, he hasn't played in like 2 years, man.
Yeah. And they, I guess they played it
safe.
That's
not what it used to be, man.
There's that Paul George rumor floating around, so.
Fuck, I don't care about Paul George anymore. You'd have your dream come true. I don't care about Paul George anymore.
See, and that's probably a great thing for him, right? He's not on the radar anymore. Everyone dropped off on him. If he goes to the Nets, you got a good solid trio right there. And so what, Kyrie is probably going to only play 40 games, but when you got KD, man, I'm telling you, man, you can have whoever on the roster. KD will get you places.
Look at that. We're already hopping into our title predictions for next year. Look at that. Who are you going to take then, B?
Fuck. I don't know, man. The nice thing is the league is supposed to start in January, which is just amazing. That's like 80 days away, man. So that's because the NHL, like I said before, wants January 1st. So the NBA is not going to be much later. So we're in for a treat, man. And I think I'm going to go with the Lakers again, honestly. Just because, not again in terms of, not that I picked them fucking win or something last year, but like everyone's going to say, oh, I knew the Lakers, I picked them, I knew they were going to win. No, you didn't, man. Let's be honest here. And it's pretty cohesive, though. 2 months off and you're back there, especially after winning a championship. They could start the season pretty, you know, on a roll. So I'd probably pick the Lakers, but anything can happen. Right? Injuries, you know, changes, trades. Say the Clippers come out just playing amazing. You don't know what can happen, right?
Look at that, man.
My favorite Lakers theory is Kobe won his fourth title against the Magic. LeBron won it in Orlando, his fourth title. It's meant to be. Like, I just...
Fuck. Like, yeah, people are always making up some stupid shit, yeah, man.
My other favorite one is it was stats that was not even stats. It was like Kobe couldn't finish this season in 2019. So LeBron had to finish it for him. This guy was retired, man. What are you talking about? Just useless facts.
Thanks for listening to the Thirst World Problems podcast. For more exclusive content, follow us on Instagram @ThirstWorldPod. Make sure to subscribe, like, and share.